If you have notes, the notes tonight. If you prefer to turn in your Bible and read the same your notes, you're welcome to do so. I only made 35 copies of the notes, and we probably have quite a few more than that here, so you might have to share. We're going to begin reading with Genesis 15. All right, let's stand, please. Anybody else not have notes that would like a copy? Anyone else not able to read that don't need a copy? Who else? Evan needs something? There you go. All right, we got enough for pretty much everybody. All right, tonight we're going to do something in the next 35 minutes. I'm going to hurry through this material. I want to be very clear about something. This will be as far opposite as you can possibly be to this morning's sermon. I have information in your hands that you will not get on your own. It's not secret. It's not secretive. It's just something we probably would rather not discuss. And what I'm really going to talk about is, can't we all just get along? Recently, I heard a liberal Democrat, like an AOC, which I just learned from Jim DeWar, you know, the little party she was at in Florida, she now has COVID, which just makes my whole week. But here's the thing, friend. I heard from a liberal Democrat, what's wrong with you Republicans? Or you're conservatives? I consider myself a conservative. Sometime probably in February, some of you in Sunday school, if you're here, will know what I mean by conservative. It will be a shock to some of you, because some of you think it means liking Donald Trump. So here, friend. She says, if you guys just didn't fight about these abortion issues. Well, we're going to talk about a word tonight, tophet. It's not even a Hebrew word. It's a loan word. I have a question for all except my wife may answer anytime during the sermon. My wife and who else might know? Definitely my wife. In the English language, do we have a lot of words from other languages? Let me ask you a second way. Are most of our words come from other languages? By the way, English is the largest language in history. Nothing's even close. Nothing. We're like 5 or 10 times more words than the next language, but it's not because we're creative. We're good thieves. If you look up almost any word, it's going to say something like French, Greek, Latin, German, or Old English. We just steal words constantly. Tophet is not a Hebrew word. We're going to talk about that tonight. Father, thank you for this time as we look at your word and as we try to understand this issue. Bless as we read the scripture in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. We'll look at these texts. In order to deal with the subject of Tophet, we must actually start way, way, way before this. So we start with Genesis 15. Everybody find it in your notes. The Lord said, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now, I would not get into this, was it 398 years or anything like that, because these are they're real numbers, but don't get goofy. Basically, friends, God says to Abraham, your descendants are going to go to another country, and we know where they went. They went to Egypt. We know that, yes? So he goes on and says some other things. Verse 14. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they, the Jewish people, come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come out hither again. And then it makes one of the more important little by your leaves in the Genesis. They're not going to do this for this 400 years because of this. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. The Amorites were the people that lived in the Promised Land. That is a generic term. If you go to England and they find out you're American, even if they find out you're from San Antonio, Texas, they're going to call you a Yankee. Amorite was just a word used in Mesopotamia, or more properly, Cliffy, Mesopotamia. That's what they called the people in the West. Where was, by the way, where was Abraham from? Mesopotamia area. So for him, the Amorites, he knew exactly what they were talking about, because it's the word those cultures use for people who lived in the Promised Land. And God says to him, listen, you're going to go down into a country you don't know about. Your people are going to be there for 400 years. I'm going to bring them out, but I'm going to bring them out when the iniquity of those Western people, the Canaanites, etc., is full. So my question, your question ought to be, what in the world were these Canaanites like? Well, number one, we have children here. Number two, I'm going to be polite. So if you want to know what the Canaanites were like, look at me, everybody. Leviticus 18, every verse, except do not read like a bonehead. You have to read because it's using euphemistic language. It talks about the nakedness of, but it's not talking about that. But I'm not going to read all of that. Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18 tells you what it's like. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and saying to them, I am the Lord your God, after the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye, what? You don't live like the Egyptians. You're God's people. After the doings of the land of Canaan, by the way, those are the Amorites, whither I bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall you walk in their ordinances. Then God says, and by the way, this is kind of like, well, duh. Verse 4, you shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. I'm just going to read, and you're just going to read verse 21. Okay, can we do that? Here is one of the things they did. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed, meaning your descendants, your children, pass through the fire to Molech. You say, what? Look at me, does somebody have to tell me that? Answer the question. Does somebody have to come to you and say, hey, don't send any of your children off to the false god, pass through the fire so you can, what? Now, what I want you to now skip to verse 24, okay? Now, friends, I am skipping verses intentionally. But you read it all. Verse 24 says what? Defile not, Jewish people, believers, ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these things, the nation, the Amorites, the Canaanites, are defiled, which I cast out before you. Verse 27, for all these abominations have the men of the land done, which was before you, and the land is defiled. Verse 28, that the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. So, real simple, really simple. When the children of Israel, look up here, when the children of Israel were to go into the Promised Land, God says two things. I don't want you to behave like the Egyptians, and I definitely don't want you to behave like the Canaanites, the Amorites, the people that live in the land. He says, I am, and I'm using gross terms, it's used in the text, God himself is vomiting, the land is vomiting out the inhabitants. He gives this long list starting in verse 6, friends. It's a crude, ugly list, but it sounds a great deal like, does not sound like America. Please hear me, it does not. It actually sounds like Romans 1 at the very end, where it says, you didn't necessarily do all of this, but you found, I'm going to paraphrase, you found it humorous. Have you turned television on? I asked you a question. Have you turned television on in the last 10 years? You say, I watch Hallmark. Well, number one, that's brain-numbing death to your brain. But number two, they have it there too. You cannot watch television without everything we oppose, and we're laughing at it. That's exactly the technique. Get you to laugh at people's behavior, therefore it's okay. All right, we're going to go in and we're going to ask some questions. And we're going to build a case in your notes. Tophet. Let's begin with what in the world is Tophet? And some of this I will explain as we go through this. And this is short. What is it? Or what was it? In a nutshell, Tophet was two things. It was, first of all, child sacrifice. Everyone look here. I'm going to say in a moment, it's in your notes, this was common in the ancient Near East. But I want to rephrase that. This was common every place. Rolando, I have a book I've got to get to you, a pamphlet and a book on Cahokia. Please hear me. The next time you hear this filth about Native Americans being so wonderful, by the way, people are evil, white, Native American, and any other group. You go to Cahokia, there's a mound down there where they absolutely just murdered many, many people when somebody died. That is so common. When you read about archaeology, it shocks modern Americans. I don't know why, because we do it too, but we do it in a more sanitized version. You'll hear about one of the mounds down there, Rolando, and it won't be happy when you read about it. Not the big mound. In your notes, so it's child sacrifice, and secondly, the place of or for child sacrifice. I'm going to give you every reference to Tophet in the Bible, but I'm not really interested in the word. What I want you to see is, from the very beginning, God took his people, took them to Egypt, and told Abraham, listen, I want you to be there. You're going to suffer. You're going to be a slave there, but I'm going to bring you out with a lot of substance. And when you come out, I don't want you living like the Egyptians, and I don't want you living like these people. Look at me, friends. From the beginning, Judges to the end, guess what they did? They lived just like the pagans, including the two big ones. One of them, by the time this is over, you will be an upset stomach, Tophet. The other one, Bamot, won't bother you, because I think pretty much Christians have compromised with that. You say, what's Bamot? Two big things, God forbid. Do not worship in Bamot, high places. And you find high places, by the way, the greatest king that Israel ever had, Solomon, he had his first sacrifice in a great Bamot, which God directly forbid. It's basically compromising with worship, is what it is. We'll talk about that a little bit in your notes. So, what was it? Child sacrifice or the place of and for child sacrifice? Well, the obvious question is, isn't it to you? Why in the world would you sacrifice your children? Why would you do that? Do any of you have children you'd like to get rid of? You might have a brother or sister you'd like to get rid of, but do you, your children? Your children, you sacrifice your babies? It's always one of the great days in our church when somebody has, I mean, it's just, everybody ooh and gaga. I mean, we love children. Why? In your notes. Here's why there was a Tophet. First of all, it was pleasing the gods. That's where it began. You remember when the children of Israel went in the Judges period for 340 years, the first thing they did was intermarry and intermix with all of the pagans that surrounded them. And by the way, when you're doing that, you want to please the pagan gods. And one of the ways you please the pagan gods is you give them a sacrifice. What could be bigger than your own child? The second statement is similar but totally different. Placating the gods. Placating the gods, as I say in your notes, since in the ancient world, according to the pagan, and this was true in the Norse gods. By the way, friends, don't get caught up with the ancient Near East. If you're Germanic and English like I am, you know, it's Odin, Woden, Woden, whoever. We were worshiping those for centuries. And guess what? They were the same. The gods were considered fickle. What's fickle mean? Yes, you just never knew what they were going to do next. So one of the things you had to do, because the gods were fickle, By the way, are you the kind of, some people are the same person every day. 99.9% of the time, unless I make Pastor Kwok angry, he is the same guy every day. He is. There's other people, you never know which one you're going to get. The guy you're, by the way, you can't be a pastor and really be any other way, Tim. If you're an emotional person in the ministry, you're out very quickly. Oh, my goodness. Placating the gods. Why? Because they were fickle. Otherwise, one day they loved you, the next day they didn't. So you might have to do something special to placate them so they don't judge you, harm you, hurt you, or do something against you. Third, boy, this is an ugly one. Discerning the will of the gods. And these next two really go together. They're very ugly. Fourthly, obtaining the favor of the gods. So, friends, I'm not going to turn into these passages. Ezekiel has a whole section. No, I think I actually will. Look at Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18. Doesn't hurt us to look up something else. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9. Find it? And by the way, if you're using a modern version, you're going to see little different words. It makes no difference. The whole part is really. Friends, what's the problem we're having with COVID? Look at me. What's the real problem we're having with COVID? If you're a scientific person, we do not have a vaccine that's 100%. If you're an anti-science person, you're happy about that, but you're afraid. We have now encountered something, look at me, that affects everybody that we can't control. Well, the ancient world had lots of things they couldn't control. So one of the things they wanted to do, no matter what it was, from stuff as simple as planting the crops, fighting a battle, you know, building a house, you wanted to find out what God's will is. And friends, the pagans used many ways to do that. All right, here's some of them. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. He just keeps telling you that. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. You say, I don't even know what some of those are. By the way, God bless you. But the ancient world, if you think we're afraid, in the ancient world they had no medicine, no technology. Everything was, all this world was filled with gods and demons and spirits. So you would do certain things hoping to discern the will of the gods or to obtain gods. And when I say gods, it could be spirits, any number of things. You would do this in times of war, in times of building new buildings, new structures, maybe even in times of harvest. In your notes, Josiah's reforms. All right, everybody look, we got to get some perspective. Look up here. Joshua, and he dies, the beginning of the Judges. 340 years. First king, somebody tell me. Saul, David, Solomon, kingdom splits, yes? 340 years, we come all the way to the end, not of the north. The north disappeared in 722 BC, but in 586 BC, we come to the end of the southern kingdom. About three or four kings from the last, I think four, was Josiah, the last godly king. I was going to read 2 Kings 23. It's too long and too detailed. But at the very end, I'm talking about from Judges all the way to the end, the last godly king. Guess what he does in his reform? Look in your notes. He defiled what? Which is in what? The valley of the children of Hinnom. I just read this. It's Bani Hinnom. that no man might make his sons or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. So friends, get the picture. From Abraham's time, you're going to go into Egypt. Moses' time, you're going to go into Egypt. I mean, you're going to leave Egypt. You're going into the promised land. Then you got Joshua. Then you got all the judges, 340 years. And then you got three kings. And then you split the kingdom. And you go all the way to 586. And we still have a problem. We're still burning our own children for reasons that are inconceivable. Hey, I always wanted to move to Las Vegas. Hey, I always wanted to move to Atlantic City. You know, folks, I come from a Baptist background. There were cities that I think I grew up knowing. Those two cities were places that had no business for a Christian to ever go to. You say, why? They call them Sin City for a reason. You say, well, I have friends. I'm not talking about your friends. I'm just simply saying this, friend. We have problems in this country, and some of it is cultural. We haven't burned any children, have we? Okay. In your notes. Let's keep on. You all are with me so far? So, pleasing the gods, placating the gods because they were fickle, discovering the whatever wisdom you could get from these gods, the will of the gods, obtaining the favor of the gods, next, and the last three are the worst, conforming to the culture. You say, why did the Jewish people, whether the Jewish believers did it, people that were connected to Judaism, to the faith that is true, why did they do it? Because they simply conformed to the culture around them. As I say in your notes, no one had much of a problem with this. Now, Carly back here, I'm so happy Carly's here. She never said this to her parents because she's special. I'm sure these two lovely young ladies over here, but I heard this occasionally from somebody in my family, you know, the shorter that I won't mention her name. She would occasionally say, everybody else is doing it. How does that make you feel when your children don't say this, do they? Because they're all three perfect. They all walk on water. Well, I'm not going to that fourth one. I didn't mention him. He's not old enough yet. By the way, friend, do you know why the Jewish people did it? Everybody else was doing it. You know, look at me. Do you realize God doesn't want you to live like other people live? He wants you to live like He wants you to live. Is that fair? The God that saved you wants you to live the way He tells you to live. Hey, Pastor Warren, everybody else is doing it. All the other churches are doing it. Okay, next. Sadly, this is harder. They were not only conforming to the culture, they were obeying the laws of the land. Remember, in those cultures, it was completely legal to burn your child. Whoa, whoa. Does that sound like anything we do? And then, how else do I say this? Fitting in and going along with the current of popular opinion. And friend, we don't seem to be able to get away from this. Pastor Warren is not angry at anybody in this room or anybody in our school. I want you to look at me, please. I'm not accusing any teenager in this room, but the teenagers in my Bible class, I have come to realize. You know who dominates their thinking? LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Basketball players. By the way, great moral role models, yes? People of great biblical discernment. By the way, they're consumed with basketball. Look at me. They're consumed with popular culture. And then you wonder, why in the world did my daughter get an abortion? Or why did this person do that? And you're like, well, everybody thinks it's okay except you fuddy-duddy fundies. You Christians. What's wrong with you? You guys are, you know, you're like born in the Stone Ages? Burning your children? But hey, Pastor Warren, it's legal. I'm sorry to inform you. All the little compromised churches around here, and there are a bunch of them, that quit preaching against drinking. Do you realize when I came Sparky, I don't know if this was true when you came. Was Zion still a dry town when you came here? No. When I came here in 1996, Zion was dry. You could not buy alcohol. By the way, what happened to Zion? What about the churches? Well, the same churches that compromised, look at me, that compromised on alcohol, what is their reply to marijuana? It's legal. What is their preaching about abortion? It's legal. Second Kings 16, read with me. In the 17th year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, Ahaz, the son of Jotham, king of Judah, began to reign. 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. And he made his sons to pass through the fire, according to the abomination of the heathen, the nations. When the Lord cast out, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, he sacrificed and burnt in high places, Bamut, and on the hills, and under it, did whatever he wanted to do, including kill his own children. 2 Kings 21:1. By the way, if you were to ask, look at me before you read, if I were to ask you right now, worst king ever, who? Manasseh, of course. By the way, the next time you have one of your Billy Baptist friends say, I prayed about something, I hope you have enough character to say this. I know another guy that prayed for a longer life. His name was Hezekiah. And he had a wonderful thing happen. He had a son named the worst king in Judah's history. And by the way, according to the scripture, the reason God would not forgive was Manasseh and his sins. Be careful what you pray for. All right, 2 Kings 21. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned, by the way, friends, that is a long time. 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abomination of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. For he built up again, there you go again, Bamut, the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. So Hezekiah wanted 15 more years. He got a son, and guess what his son did? His son undid every single thing he did. And he reared up altars for Baal, and he made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel. And he worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord. Can you imagine? In the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire. He observed times, used enchantments, dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Next page. The next passage is not about a Jewish king, but it gives you the attitude, friends, the attitude of people. It says, and when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, meaning it was just too much, he was going to lose, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even into the king of Edom, but they could not. Since he couldn't break through, it says, then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. So it's really this simple. This is what people do. I'm in an emergency. I don't have time for a baby. So I got an abortion. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not yelling and screaming about abortion. Please hear me. This is what I think a young lady should do who gets pregnant. No, I do not necessarily think she should marry the idiot. But the old joke, two rights don't make a wrong. Minimally, she should think adoption. How many people I know want to adopt children who can't find one in America? I do not think abortion's on the list. Okay. Well, in your notes are all the references to the word Tophet in the Bible. Now, Pastor Warren is not going to read all the references. I'm going to let you read every single Hebrew reference to Tophet. But what I want you to do is to write this down. If you look up in an old Hebrew dictionary, you will not find a definition for this word. I began tonight by talking about the English language, did I not? And how we do what? Steal words. Where's my phone at? Now, by the way, if you look at it, all you got to do is look at a dictionary. It tells you where the word comes from. There is no such thing as English. English is the whole language is stolen. But this is interesting to me. Here are some common words. Anonymous is a Greek word. Onimus. The word loot, L-O-O-T, is Hindi. The word guru is Sanskrit. Safari, Arabic. Cigar, Spanish. Cartoon, Italian. By the way, if you know German at all, you know the next one, Wunderlust. Wunderlust. You can almost hear it said in German. How about my favorite English word, cookie, is from Dutch. By the way, our whole language is stolen. Friends, what you need to write down is Tophet is not a Hebrew word. And when dictionaries were originally written in the 1800s for the Hebrew language, they knew how to say the word. They knew what the word was connected. By the way, every time you find the word Tophet, you find child sacrifice. But what they didn't know, where's the word come from? What's it mean? Now, look up here. Here's Israel today. Right north along the coast is a little country called Lebanon. It's still called, it used to be called Phoenicia, Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon, by the way, my wife is becoming an expert in archaeology. We've been watching a series. She's all knocked out about archaeology now. No joke. Friends, they didn't find out about Tophet from Lebanon. Do you know what Lebanon, besides Lebanese, the Phoenicians, were great traders? And all around the Mediterranean rim, they put little colonies, but they weren't like the Romans. They didn't go there and murder and pillage. They just wanted to trade. We know they went around into Spain. They started what's modern-day Cadiz or Gadis, went all the way to England. They went down the coast of Africa. The Phoenicians were great traders, but the Phoenicians were well known all through the ancient world for one item, well, two items, purple dye. And you know the other one. David got them there. Cedars of Lebanon. It was the greatest trees in that part of the world. Friends, in places in Egypt, in temples, they find these cedars of Lebanon. They find them up in the Hittite areas. They find them in Mesopotamia. They exported them every place. But they also exported a second item. They did what England did. They started a colony. England started a small colony called America. And today, England is this big and America is this big. Well, Little Lebanon started in North Africa, Carthage. The Punic, P-U-N-I-C, the Carthaginians. The Carthaginians, I know Sparky can tell you all about the three Punic wars with Rome. By the way, they were finally destroyed by the Romans. Why? Because the Romans wanted to trade and conquer. But friends, the Carthaginians, in the city of Carthage, the ancient city, they finally found this word connected to cemeteries. And the cemeteries would not have, there were no glass, there were no plastic bottles. But in the cemetery would be small bottles made of clay, maybe two or three times this big, sealed. I've said this before, but I want you to see it. Look at me. With the text. And in those little bottles would be the bones of children who had been sacrificed to the false gods. One of those cemeteries had 50,000 bottles. 50,000. I believe they have found... Now, there's, by the way, I'm not going to get into the debate because, of course, when you find this and everybody wants to blame everybody else and then you get into politics. Bottom line is Tophet is a Phoenician word, and it was the place where they sacrificed the little babies, look at me, and buried the little babies. So you want God to bless your business? Give us one of your children. If you don't have a child, buy a child. Sacrifice that one. That's what they did. You say that's gross. Yeah. All right. I asked the question at the end of the notes. We're not going to read the words on Tophet. Oh, forgive me. So what did I say? Tophet's what kind of a word? Yes. And it's the place where they sacrificed and buried the bones in little jars. I have to tell you one other thing. Did you notice the Valley of Hinnom? Everybody notice that? It's always connected just about to Tophet. The Valley of Hinnom in the Old Testament is the place where they burnt the trash. So, folks, this is so terrible. The place outside, by the way, you have to have a trash dump. Place outside the city where they burnt the trash was the Valley of Hinnom. Hear me, hear me, hear me. That became slang. You know, I don't know how slang words become, but gay is that word for valley, Hinnom. So, Gehenna. Gehenna. The Greek word for hell. Because in Jesus' day, they were using Greek. That was Gehenna, the Valley of Hinnom. By the way, which then became the Greek word in the New Testament for hell. Because what? Hell is the place where you take the trash out, and hell is a place where it burns forever. You have it right here. So they were taking those little babies, look at me, to the trash dump. Now, before we go any further, I got one question. We abort 1 to 1.5 million babies a year. Have you ever been smart enough to ask the question, what do they do with the bodies? I'm asking. Have you ever asked the question? Anybody, raise your hand. What do they do with the bodies? You say they dispose of them. What do you think? Very, 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 very little research. Most of it is they're discarded in some fashion. What if you were digging someplace in the future as an archaeologist and you came upon, you said 50,000, how about 1.5 million? Folks, it used to be about 2 million. It's a little bit less now because we can abort babies before they're fully formed through all of these over-the-counter medications. You say, Pastor, what's the big deal? Can't we just get along? Glad you ask. In your notes, Tophet, so what's the big deal? Well, in your notes, first of all, this was and is, or is and was, the blood, the Bible calls it the blood of innocence. Jeremiah 19:4, because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocence. Secondly, this is and was against God's commandments. God always told his people how to worship. I'm going to say it again. God always commanded his people how to worship. I'm going to say it again. God always commanded his people how to worship. I don't like what we do at Lake. Problem. God himself tells you what worship is. And it's real simple. It's God's people coming together to sing together, pray together, read the Bible together, and somebody teach the Bible. That's dancing, no sex, no drinking, no drugs, nothing. And here's your problem. These people worship God any way they wanted to, including killing their own children as an act of worship? Yes, we'll see it in a moment. This was and is the blood of innocence. It is and was, and I even messed it up in this one passage, didn't I? I'll change that. It is and was against God's commandments. It was numbered, and this is saying the same thing. It was and is against God's instructions. And maybe most important, in some ways it's the same, it was and is against God's intentions. Can you imagine the God of heaven wanted certain things to happen? And you know, you have your heart wrapped up in people living away, and you're killing your own children, hoping to get material advantage, hoping to win in war, hoping to have a good marriage, hoping to have a good harvest. Whew. Jeremiah 19:5. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their son. Oh, by the way, I forgot. I'm assuming that which I haven't stated. I must state it. Look at me. Jeremiah prophesied primarily during Josiah's reforms and after Josiah. So, friend, he's talking about, even though Josiah reformed all of this, quick as Josiah was dead, guess what they did? Right back to it. So here it is. He says, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it unto my mind. That's God's commandments, God's instructions, God's intention. That's where I get it from. 731, and they had built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not. Neither came it into my heart. There's God's command and his intention. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. 32:35, and they built the high place of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and the Molech, which I commanded them not. See, we do what God commands us to do in worship. We don't make it up. You say, but Pastor Warren, I like it. I don't care what you like. Christians do what our worship is based on, the teachings of Scripture and the commands. He says, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Ezekiel 20, down at the bottom, verse 31. Are you all catching on? Look at me. Here it is. Can't we all just get along? Just 1.5 million kids. I still want to know. None of you know. By the way, there's no one in this room that really knows exactly. My guess, it's somewhat different from place to place. What actually happens to the 1.5 million babies who are aborted? And most of them old enough where they're discernibly, they're not some glob of tissue, they're discernibly a baby. What happens to them? And you think God, by the way, I asked the kids in Bible about COVID. I had one young lady say, some people, I guess in her church, her family thinks this is God's judgment on America. Do we have the right to be judged in America? Mm-hmm. By the way, there's only 50,000 in those. 1.5 million a year. We'll finish with the two Ezekiel passages. For when you offer your gifts, when you make your sons to pass through the fire, you pollute yourself with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of you, O house of Israel? What? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. 23:37, that they have committed adultery, and blood is in their hands, and with their idols they have committed adultery, and they have caused their sons whom they bear unto me to pass them through the fire to devour them. Moreover, this they have done unto me. They have defiled my sanctuary in the same way and have profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slain their children to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. And lo, they have done in the midst of my house. So tonight, I ask the question, what is Tophet? It's child sacrifice. It's the place also of and for child sacrifice. I have answered, why did they do it? Look at me. You need to ask a question. Why do people abort babies and kill them? You're going to find some of the same I'm going to have more fun and freedom. We're not even as religious as these people. This is a problem in my life, this baby. Let's get rid of it. By the way, I think Christians, as a Christian, I'm all for abortion. I think we should promote it. Not abortion, adoption. Adoption. By the way, do you? Why do we allow politicians to dominate our life? I want to say this to all of you. I do not believe that these issues should be decided by the Supreme Court. I think the Supreme Court in 1973, and if we decide against abortion, I think we'll be wrong now. This should be a moral outrage, and we should provide options. That's what the church ought to be doing. The answer, should we have abortion? But should we help young ladies? Yes. We should do both. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Terrible, terrible passages. Tophet. How could they do it? How can we do it? Speak to us tonight, Father. Help us to have a good grasp of these basic principles in Christ's name. Amen.